Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gozugoz.
Moe moe kyun!
In today's episode, we're talking about Air, the motion picture, aka Air Movie, a movie released in 2005. I chose this one because it's another one that's been on my list for a while. It was produced by Toei Animation, the studio behind Digimon, One Piece, Sailor Moon, and Dragon Ball Z Plan to Eradicate the Super Saiyans, which we watched back in February on this very podcast.
And we're going to watch later on, I don't know when.
Later this year? No, February next year. Make it an annual thing.
Yes!
Air, the motion picture, currently has a MyAnimeList score of 7.22. Which is quite a bit higher than the last couple.
I mean, I'm just surprised we haven't watched anything with a 2 score just yet.
Give it time.
Oh no.
This is based on a visual novel, which was developed by Key. It's first released on PC in 2000, and has been re-released multiple times, both on PC as well as releases on Dreamcast, PlayStation 2, PlayStation Portable, PlayStation Vita, and Switch in 2021. It never released outside of Japan, so it's weird that this movie got a dub, but there is a fan translation if you wanted to check it out.
How dare you ignore the fact that it came out as an erotic game first? I thought that's the first thing you were going to mention.
I mentioned that towards the end of my notes, actually.
Damn it.
I'd like to remind people that we watch these things usually without knowing much, if anything, about them in advance. As such, it was only when gathering notes for the recording that I realised that Vic Mignogna and Monica Rial did voices in this, and there's an ongoing court case about alleged assault that Mignogna did to Rial in the mid-2000s. So probably around the time they were working on this movie. Felt we should mention that so we know, so that we're aware of what we're watching here. My summary is: when Yukito arrives in a town lit by J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, Misuzu makes him help her with a school project.
I like the little note of Star Trek. I appreciated that.
Thank you. Hazar, what do you have?
A man named Yukito sets out on a journey and arrives at a small town where he might just find what he'd forgotten he was looking for.
And Gozugoz?
After a magical puppet man's mom kicks him out and tells him he will find himself a woman somewhere in the sky, he meets a broad from a long line of people with a curse to always wipe out on bikes, and then we all cry.
Okay, yeah, was this a good adaptation?
Yes.
Stop taking my damn summaries. Anyway. We open on a bus ride while Yukito Kunisaki, our sole male protagonist, narrates about journeys. He disembarks the bus in what he says is a random town. We cut to flashes of other characters while the title credits roll, and I don't know, do we really see much from the other characters? It took me like 5 hours to watch this thing because the kids aren't at school, so I had forgotten the start of it before I reached the end of it.
I don't remember any characters.
I mean, there was like 2 characters, and then everyone else was just unimportant at best.
I thought you were going to say unemployed.
Well, the protagonist is.
The song for the title ends with Misuzu cameo speaking to a teacher at school and asking for a research project for the summer holiday, despite having not attended school at all that term. Just saying, if that was England and my kid, I'd have been charged £65 for every day she didn't show up without a good explanation. That's literally a thing that happens.
I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't know that's how some places worked. And I skipped school so much, I was warned that I would fail the year just on the fact that I've missed so much. And then, you know, I was later informed that years ago, when I was skipping school in another country, apparently my mother almost got in trouble, so this didn't shock me as much as it should have.
To be fair, I think the rules are different in Japan, because this isn't the first anime I've seen where a student's just straight up not attending school.
I just feel like there's a lot of similarities between her and Nikisa from Clannad. So I see where you're coming from.
In fact, it's a subplot in a sub-story of Lost Judgment, the video game.
Did Yagami skip school?
No, it's this kid who isn't going to school. Apparently, they are close to being kicked out, so it seems there is sometimes some consequences. But anyway, the theme of the project that the teacher chooses is My Town. We cut back to Yukito, who invites a group of kids to pay to watch him play with his puppet. I was concerned, but they ran off.
Yeah, that scene was also kind of weird.
Hey, kids, come over here and watch me play with my puppet. And you're arrested. He reminisces about how his mother told him the tale of a girl waiting for him in the sky. Or if you're watching the subtitled version, the air. And only he has the power to save her. You know, if he wants to, as he can actually choose not to save her. Imagine being told, this is your destiny. You know, if you want to do your destiny, you don't have to.
I mean, if nothing, it's unique.
True.
It was just a bullshit thing she told him to, like, excuse kicking him out. You have a destiny. You need to leave now.
You have a destiny. Get the hell out of my house. We cut to the beach where the kids from before are showing Misuzu a turtle, which seems to bewilder her before they run off. She is there to read a book which she got from the library, which she narrates to us while Yukito visits a shrine which he intends to sleep in.
As you do.
The story is of a winged woman who gave birth to a girl they called Princess Kanna. And throughout this thing, we keep cutting to this story. And it made writing notes frustrating.
Yeah, not only that, it feels like the first about third of the movie, you're just randomly skipping from scene to scene with, like, no explanation. Like, we were first looking at the protagonist, then we were looking at the girl, then we were learning about the book. Then we skipped to the protagonist for a second, and then back to the girl. It's like, I don't think it can handle this metaphor.
We cut from the stormy night at the shrine to it's a sunny day, and we can't see because of the solar flares, I assume, with Misuzu crashing her bike more than once. She passes Yukito on the beach and they share some words, but he wanders off. And then we cut to Princess Kanna and her servant, I assume, where Kanna is staring and pointing at one of her guards when he turns to look at her and she gets bashful. I mean, you're pointing at him, but I guess it's all part of the narration as we cut back to Misuzu narrating that Kanna and the guard became friends. I guess it's not very clear if it's all, if whenever we cut to Kanna, it's narration or whether it's a flashback or it's just in her head or whatever.
I just figured Yukito was Princess Kanna and moved on. No, I didn't say that wrong. The puppet man is Kanna.
Okay. Scared to ask. We cut to Yukito at the park, and when he asks the kid where the turtles are, they hand him money for a puppet show.
If he'd bothered me so much when I was young, I'd also hand him money to leave me alone.
Okay, stop talking about your puppet. Here's some money. Go away. Misuzu passes the park, and the pair lock eyes, so they have a Pokemon battle. No, sorry, I mean they leave the park for a chat, where she explains her project to him. While riding around on her bike, she hadn't learned how to ride it, hence the falling over, he explains that he's on a journey and only here because of the summer festival. But that's next week, which he's less than pleased to learn.
By the way, I feel like we should mention now that the puppet, he moves it with magic.
Yeah, I just...
And people treat it like... whatever.
I just assumed that the animators couldn't be bothered to put string or really fine shiny lines or something, but having read the Wikipedia summary of this, that also says magic, so...
Yeah, I thought the same. I was like, maybe they're just not adding the... Especially because there's a lot of weird shots with very bright colors, and I have a really cheap monitor that makes bright colors even brighter, so half of this was just me searing my eyes off. So it's like, maybe I just don't see the fine string anymore.
Maybe you can't see certain colors anymore. They visit a huge abandoned building, which was apparently one of two primary schools, and that one had to close because they didn't have enough students, and given the size of it, obviously. They leave while she narrates again, hammering home the idea that Princess Kanna and her guard's friendship is similar to this blossoming friendship between these two. They visit the cave where Kanna's mother was allegedly locked away many years ago, and a waterfall, before she treats him to udon and they return to the beach. He bitches about people not smiling correctly, which is why he's poor as dirt or something, and then he goes to the bus stop. But she decides that he doesn't have to leave town and he can stay at her place instead. So Yukito apparently agrees as he follows her home, and just as they arrive, Misuzu's mum, Haruko, tries to kill them both by running them over with a motorbike.
Now it's just a curse.
She crashes into the shed, and it turns out she was drunk driving like an idiot.
I laughed at that moment, because earlier the girl wipes out on the bicycle, and now the mom wipes out on the motorbike.
Honestly, yeah, me too. I thought, this is a family thing.
And then the dad wipes out in the car.
After Haruko has a bath, she dresses in almost nothing to go and have a chat with Yukito as he's patching the hole in the shed, which is where he's going to be staying.
In the hole?
And then the Pornhub music started. Wait, sorry, that's only the erotic version. Go on.
As he lays down to sleep, Yukito reminds us of what happened in the last 20 minutes, because it has been 20 minutes since this thing started. The next morning, Haruko leaves for her three jobs, so Yukito and Misuzu have breakfast. And then we cut to Kanna and her guard, who we finally get a name for, Ryua, as he's entertaining her with straight-up magic. I mean, it's spinning tops, but he's clearly doing some sort of magic with them.
Oh, that's when the film turned into Beyblade. It looks straight out of Beyblade. He even did super moves by moving his hands and the Beyblades jumped. Or whatever.
I mean, there was one that was spinning on its side while another one span on top of it. Which makes no sense.
I was really trying to figure out if that was possible in real life. I was just like, are you kidding me?
It's possible in Beyblade. That's where they got idea for Beyblade, probably.
I was just thinking, at this point, maybe I should have realized the puppet was being moved with magic because of the breaking the physics in Beyblade, in the Beyblade section, but no, I refuse to believe it.
So anyway, he reveals that he knows that she has the power of the gods, though it turns out it's just wings. So the gods have wings? I don't know. And she's upset that she can't leave because people want to... it's not very well explained, but if she leaves, she's going to be killed. However, knowing that he knows about her and her power, she says that she wants to see her mother, who is locked away far from them. The subtitles say yes, but the dub says no, which is weird.
So in Italian, we say maybe.
Speaking of weird dubs, Yukito uses an ableist slur when we cut back to them on the beach, but only in the dub.
Meanwhile, I didn't know that, but in the sub, there's consistent typos that were really distracting.
There were. I don't think they were the official subtitles.
Like turtle, turtle, turtle?
No. They said instead of allow with double L, it was allow with double O and no double L.
Yeah, there were a few things.
Alu. Alu. The Canadian alu.
Yeah. Or they said this with TH in caps and then the rest. It's horrible.
Misuzu narrates about Kanna having a bath so we can see her butt, and the pair are chased by kids on their bikes wanting to see the puppet again. Not the pair of butt cheeks, I mean Misuzu and Yukito. They go to the shrine, Misuzu still narrating, before being interrupted by mean girls from school. Yukio stops the teasing with his mere presence as he goes up the stairs, but as they finish taking photos, it begins to rain again. We cut to Haruko, taking some notes about Misuzu to a doctor, calorie intake, sleep pattern, temperature, and when the doctor wants to refer her to a hospital, Haruko says that she can't tell Misuzu the truth, she just can't. Later, the next day, after the storm in any case, they have lunch, which Misuzu somehow made while Yukito was asleep. After she makes a wish, he remarks that it sounds like she's dying, and she doesn't reply. Seemingly bored of Misuzu talking about the legend of the winged beings, he begins whistling the music that had been playing over the scene, which, you know, rude.
What is he, Deadpool?
We cut to Kana and Ryuya, who just want to visit the beach, but are stopped by guards who will kill them if they try it. That's where we find out she's not allowed to leave the area. Not because there are people outside that will kill her, but people inside will kill her if she leaves. Then we cut to Haruko having dinner and a drink, intercut with the doctor from before talking about Misuzu, who is getting worse from an unknown illness. Once more, we go back to Yukito and Misuzu at the beach, so she can continue telling him the legend before she throws up. Haruko crashes at the house, again, finding Misuzu in bed, and then she barges into the shed before making Yukito dinner, and then plying him with alcohol despite neither of them knowing his age.
He's about 19.
The next day, it's raining too much for them to go out, so Yukito and Misuzu stay in. He tries going back to bed, but she wakes him up with a crow named Sky, who apparently talks to her. I mean, the dub calls it Sky, but the subtitle calls it Sora.
This is where we found that one in Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
Well, that's what Sora means.
It means Kingdom Hearts. That's weird.
No, it means Sky! How dare you? How dare you, sir?
She tries to kiss him, but he pulls away, and then they play cards. While dealing cards, she explains that Haruko isn't her mum, she's her aunt because her mum died years ago. We cut to Haruko in a phone booth telling someone that they should prepare themselves too. Later, Haruko returns home, and her and Misuzu get excited about yukata fabric. The dub says kimono, but you don't have a festival kimono, you have a festival yukata. I mean, come on.
Everyone knows that. I totally wasn't confused what they meant with yukata half the anime.
Kimonos for normal day-to-day wear. Yukito is a special outfit.
It's okay, I'll get weed powers one day. I'm watching more anime.
Misuzu resumes narrating the legend, and we cut to some men in demon masks drumming. These guys keep coming back, I have not included them every time in my notes. While Kana takes her top off to show her breasts to Ryuya. Or like her wings, I don't know. Meanwhile, in the shed, Haruko is boozing with Yukito, but he reveals that he's found a bunch of untouched prescriptions in a drawer that Misuzu should have been taking. Haruko explains that they're just tranquilizers, which she won't take anyway, as Misuzu knows they won't work. I mean, clearly she's not taking enough tranquilizers if they're not working.
She's clearly not taking so many tranquilizers if he's just running around so crazily all the time.
Later, Yukito remembers his mother's words about having the power to save the girl in the air. He decides to ignore any feelings of responsibility, like an anti-Spider-Man, if you will, and lays down to sleep. Sky, the crow, appears to make noise before flying off, which disturbs Misuzu's sleep. The next day, Yukito is pedaling the bike with Misuzu on the back as usual, but she's asleep and only wakes up when the wind steals her. She collapses while chasing it, and he has to go get it for her.
I'm sorry, but the wording, you imply that the wind planned to do that, like, did it deliberately.
Prove that it didn't.
I guess I can't.
Exactly. To say that her unknown illness is progressing slowly, it sure seemed to have progressed very quickly all of a sudden. They return to the primary school because she buried something near a tree with the intention of digging up when she was 20. Since the school was going to be torn down, she didn't want to lose her landmark. Because the tree would probably be cut down as well. Also, probably her dying might have had something to do with it. It turns out it was a tin of keepsakes of her real mum, which she wanted to burn. While Yukito was still in shock of her burning the only photo she had of her mum, Misuzu confesses her love to him and kisses him. We cut to Ryuya and Kana, who is in burning pain because she said that she loved him, and that's what happens, I guess. Back in the modern day, Haruka hurries home and crashes, as usual, because she heard that Misuzu came down with a high fever. Apparently it had been 6 hours since Yukito had called her, and she'd only just arrived home, which angers him. The next morning, Misuzu apologizes for her illness and how every time she tried to make a friend, her body would react like this. She explains that it even hurts to love Haruka like a mother, so Haruka tells her to hate her so that she won't be in pain. Misuzu says no, and claims that she'll just love as strongly as she can, and then collapses in pain.
I really appreciated that it wasn't only romantic love that affected this. The illness, because I was expecting it's just like only romantic. I was like, here we go again. But they took the Frozen route a couple of years before Frozen, but still.
Couple?
Just a couple, not too many.
Yukito is woken from his sleep by the rain. As he narrates, continues for a full 2 days until the day of the festival. On one of the days, Yukito is talking to Haruko when Misuzu tells him to come to her room so they can talk alone. She gives him a bobblehead keychain and a dinosaur book, then asks him to kiss her. He doesn't, so she hugs him. Moments later, Haruko barges in with drinks and is surprised to find Yukito on the floor playing cards, while Misuzu is pretending to sleep while she cries. In his shed, Yukito narrates about how much he loves Misuzu, but he can't hold her for reasons. On festival day, things are kicking off in town, so Yukito leaves his shed without saying goodbye, leaving his book and keyring behind. Misuzu puts on her yukita and goes to the shed, but returns to her room when she finds no sign of him. The house phone rings as we see Yukito get on the bus, and a man making the call from a payphone, or a phone booth, I don't know why I said payphone, says that it's Kyosuke Tachibana. He's there to do something, but he's early. He should have been there the day after.
For a moment, I thought it was the teacher from the beginning.
I had forgotten he was a character, and we talked about him 20-something minutes ago.
There was a teacher?
I mean, there was, and like, a guy in glasses showed up, so I thought, oh, it's the guy from the start! That's what I thought! Maybe you should have established him earlier, that there are two guys with glasses.
It's not like it's common to have glasses, Jesus Christ.
Misuzu narrates the legend again, telling how Ryuya had to leave, so Kana decided to fly, despite knowing it was a death sentence. And we get a surprise female presenting nipple. And now you two are scrubbing through it because you missed it the first time.
No, I think you missed the one in the shed with the mom.
Oh, I thought that was just like a shadow. I did see something there, but...
I did miss the one where she was flying, but I saw the one in the shed. Again, my screen is very bright. They were probably just hidden by all the rays of light.
No, this was before she flew. That's coming up.
Are you sure that wasn't just some dust on your monitor that you thought was a nipple?
I mean, when she flies, I'm pretty sure you see between her legs. Oh, but no nipples, so that's a weird...
That's probably still dust.
I think it's like she has strategically placed spotlights where nipples and other stuff should be.
Anyway, Haruko tells Misuzu that she has to go on a trip because her dad, Tachibana, is there to take her to live with him, where there's a big hospital that can help diagnose her. Misuzu doesn't want to go and runs to Haruko, who pulls a "go on, get out of here, I don't love you" thing to make her go. So in a fugue state, Misuzu is put in the car and Tachibana tears off down the street like he's just kidnapped her while Haruko cries. Like, did you guys notice that? Screech for her!
No, actually I didn't.
Yeah, he booked it. Anyway, Yukito gets off the bus at the last stop, since his options are to wait for a different bus to take him further or to go back. He thinks about how he's still close enough to see the fireworks. In the middle of the festival, Tachibana's car is stuck in slow-moving festival traffic, so Misuzu legs it. Back at the bus stop, Sky, the crow, turns up and Yukito tries to fight it, denying his feelings for Misuzu before a bus arrives, but it's heading back into town. The bus going the other way isn't running again until the next day. Tachibana calls Haruko for help finding Misuzu, and we cut to later where Yukito is at the festival to make some money. Misuzu was somewhere else, and she narrates Ryuya using spinning tops to murder guards so they can go to the beach.
Beyblade got really dark.
I'm pretty sure that actually happens in Beyblade also. They kill people with them. It's like Yu-Gi-Oh! They also kill people with cards, I think.
In the original run, yes. When they brought it back for a full like go of things, not so much. Elsewhere, Yukito puts on a show and apparently makes a killing. Then Haruko finds him. She unloads on him since she's been looking for hours and this is all her fault. He decides to join the search and starts looking as Misuzu resumes her narration despite having almost passed out. And Kana flashes the guards, who are shocked either by her boobs or her wings, and she flies as Ryu tries to defend her and is killed. Kana herself is riddled with arrows, and the sound of her voice makes her mother break out of her cell, only to be stabbed by at least 10 different weapons.
I think all of them were pole arms, but then it seems like she's been stabbed by swords.
Yeah, the guards directly outside the cell all had pole arms, but she was stabbed by several swords as well.
Yeah, I didn't see pole arms afterwards, I just saw the swords.
I saw sticks and swords.
Maybe they pulled out these pole arms and then replaced them with swords.
For when you really want to kill someone. As Kana died, she didn't fall to the ground, instead remaining in the air, where white feathers fell from her for days before she vanished. Meanwhile, Haruko says that Misuzu might be in the shrine, and is explaining that Tachibana is Misuzu's father. Tachibana himself arrives to say he's peacing out because he's got a business call to take. Yukito punches him in the stomach and runs off, and then just sits down before his puppet gets possessed and flies to an unused building where he finds Misuzu. If I sound confused, it's because I was confused. He confesses to her and kisses her as fireworks go off and his puppet fades into nothing. Somehow. After the festival, the rain begins again, and Yukito explains how they ended up hospitalizing Misuzu, though not for long. He remembers, before taking her to the hospital, that they took a trip to the beach where Misuzu collapsed. So Yukito is narrating from the train station as he gets on the train. And credits. That's where it ends. It's super unclear.
Oh no, they were going to take her to the hospital, but she wanted to go to beach first, and there she died.
Yeah, but before they go to the beach, he says, we ended up deciding to hospitalize her, but then we decided to take her home. Like, because the hospital wasn't doing anything, but then it's implied that she dies before she even gets to the hospital. I think the dub just got confusing at one point, because I wasn't paying full attention to the subtitles.
Well, I don't know.
I'm waiting for Arturo to finish watching the scene again.
Oh no, sorry, I'm here.
So, was this a good adaptation?
So, after pretty much probably selling my data to the dark web because I couldn't find gameplay for it, beginning is definitely way more different than this one. Let's on, but I'm like, the characters seem to be pretty much loyal to themselves. I think it seemed very far, unfortunately, but I thought it was okay. So from what I got to see,
I think they cut a couple other love interests and made the magic stuff more ambiguous. Other than that, it was. It seemed pretty faithful.
Yeah, the other two love interests were also missing, but at the same time, you know, this already went on for an hour and 30 minutes, so I understand why.
I don't know how you couldn't find anything on YouTube, because 3 days ago, the YouTube channel GauchRX uploaded an air visual novel walkthrough. No commentary.
I'm going to be honest with you, I'm so bad at finding the video sometimes. I had to watch mine in Daily Motion.
It was 3 days ago. At time of recording. A few more by the time you're listening to this. But in my opinion, by its nature, this can't be a good adaptation because adaptations can't have multiple paths and I believe it does change things. Also, and this is what the part of my notes that I mentioned earlier, there's no sex, though to be fair, this was probably based on the all-ages version from 2001, not the one with sex from 2000.
Nah, it was tasteful.
Some tasteful nudity and a lot of butts.
We didn't ask it to be tasteful, that's the point.
I don't know about you, but I was happy that it was tasteful for once.
Even though the crap A's makes as much, true.
Okay, I'm going to go to the spreadsheet and change the order of things. So, was this a yata, a nanny, or a baka, Arthur?
I think for me, this one was kind of like a nanny. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. And I feel like I would have been more interested in the story they're telling in the past than this one, because at least that one had more of a straight conclusion of everyone dies and everyone suffers. So I think it would have been an interesting ending, but this was just convoluted and confusing. I didn't hate it, but I also really didn't like it.
Okay, and Guzguz?
This is a bit hard for me, because, like, I'm not really into the genre of, like, crying games or crying movies in this case. So, like, I can't really... I don't have much to compare it to, but, like, from an outsider's perspective, I would say yata. It seemed fine to me.
Yeah, for me, yata, I enjoyed it, and it successfully tugged at my heartstrings. So, does it deserve its minimalist score of 7.22?
Yeah, I think it's good enough, honestly. It was good. It's just, I just don't think it was for me. But otherwise, this is one of the ones where there actually weren't any problems. So, yeah, I like it.
Okay, Goz?
Yeah, I might have been a little bit higher, maybe, a little bit.
Well, for me, I'd score it higher if I could see most of the damn thing. Who set the lens flares to 95% intensity anyway?
Do you see?
No, that's the problem. I didn't see.
Well, to be fair, it is like summer on... well, in countries that actually have summer. We don't have summer in Britain, so... You don't really know, but if you went outside Britain, you would see that summer looks just like this film.
Damn, I feel bad for them. How they not being able to see nipples.
Not being able to see anything. Except for those blissful days when it's a typhoon outside. Right, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Atura and Guzguz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Only Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Grincast podcast. Until next time, game on.